It's all about attitude, brethren. It's all about attitude. One last example of this, as I draw this to a close, Matthew 14, beginning with verse 22. Matthew 14, 22. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, while he sent the crowds away. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. And they said, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Yahshua spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter said to him, "Master, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Yahshua. He was doing it, brethren. He was doing it. Can you imagine this? How would you have felt if you were able to walk on the water, even for a couple of steps? Would have been an awesome thing. But seeing the wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Master, save me." And this is how we are sometimes, brethren. We begin in faith to walk on the water, and then the storms hit, and then we start to sink, and we become fearful. And it's just human nature, brethren. But we must learn these lessons. All of us must meditate on these things, seriously meditate upon them, and learn these lessons in our lives, that when the storms of life come, as they surely will come, no one is exempt from them, brethren. Everyone here will experience storms of life, all of us. But how we deal with them will make the difference. The attitude that we take to deal with these things will make all the difference. Verse 30, but seeing the wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Master, save me." Immediately Yahshua stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt? You were doing it. Why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind stopped. And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "You are certainly Yahweh's son." But I always am taken by that question. You have little faith. Why did you doubt? And especially because we're told that Peter started walking on the water. And Yahshua tells us in another place that if we told the mountain, if we had faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, we could tell the mountain, "Cast yourself into the ocean, into the sea," and it would be done. And you know, brethren, that's very difficult for us to accept. It's very difficult for us to accept. Yet Yahshua said it, and it's true. Brethren, I believe that Yahweh wishes to see the same expressions of faith from us as he expected of that person that he sent to wash in the pool of Siloam. I'm not at all speaking necessarily of cases where we go to Yahweh for to resolve this minor issues. I'm looking at a much greater picture than that. One that affects us all, brethren, every day. Although Yahweh can remove our burdens from us in an instant, whatever that burden may be, he can do that. But I am convinced that more often than not in history, he has chosen not to do that, brethren. Instead, Yahweh asks us to take active steps to demonstrate our trust in him. Not because it's some sort of game that he enjoys, or because he wants to see us suffer, but because in everything, a general rule seems to be no cost, no value, brethren. Think about the things that matter most in life. Don't they all come with a price? Think about getting your body in shape. You have to exercise, and exercise hard, and diet to do that. It doesn't come automatically. Boy, don't I wish. But if I want to get trimmed, there's only one way to do it. And that is by exercising discipline, watching my food intake, and getting active. There's no shortcut, brethren. Nor is there a shortcut to have money in my life. I have to save money to buy nice things. I have to, if I want to retire not having to eat dog food, I have to start now to plan for it, brethren. Or by the time I get over there, past the Alpo. I probably shouldn't say that. If you want to get good grades, what do you do? Does it come by osmosis? You got to break open the books and you got to study. If you know that's the way you get the higher grade, that's the way you get your bachelor's degree and your master's degree, and then no one's going to give it to you, hand it to you on a silver platter, and you're going to pay money for it, right? Those of you who have advanced degrees, you're going to pay money for it, and you're going to pay dearly with your time and your discipline. And there's an opportunity cost there, because while you could be doing many other things, you are taking the time to do that, and it is precluding you from doing a whole host of other things because you have a goal in mind. And if you want to have a better job, you got to work hard to get it, right? No one's going to promote you just because you look nice, right? Okay, because if that were the case, I'd be a CEO by now. But the bottom line, in all seriousness, is that no cost, no value, brethren. This is one of the reasons why people who are wealthy, if they are serious-minded people who truly love their children, they will see to it that they have some kind of structure in how that child gets money. They'll put it in a trust fund or something. They won't just hand it to them because they're wise and they know that unless my child knows that they have to work hard for a living and do things that are productive to society, then all this money is no good. It's gonna be a curse to them rather than a blessing. No cost, no value. Brethren, we must see as Yahweh sees. We must look into the future with the eyes of faith, truly believing in our hearts that Yahweh will give us the strength to overcome the difficulties in our lives, and He will give us the victory. Yes, brethren, our faith, must be active. Always remember that in the big picture, we are active participants or partners in the creative process with Yahweh, and it's been that way since the very beginning. That will make our final victory in the end that much sweeter, brethren. Yes, we will suffer because of the fallen world in which we live and because of the fallen condition of man. Yet it will make it that much sweeter, that much more glorious in the end. Why? Because we will finally see the results of our efforts, the victorious fruit of our strivings. And we will enjoy a millennium and an eternity of glory with our Creator and King. So may Yahweh bless us all as we struggle in this life to overcome adversity so that we may be part of Israel, the one who strives and overcomes in partnership with Elohim. Shalom. May Yahweh bless you.